All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's an F-Yeah Friday on The Usual Suspects, and I'm happy to report everyone's present and accounted for and healthy as far as I can tell. Nick is here, Barry's here, myself. We are ready to go for the next 3 hours. Fellas, what's going on?
What's up? We're still here. What's going on, people?
We're doing this.
How's everybody feeling?
I have a slight headache, but other than that, I'm good.
Yeah.
We're doomed.
I said to Nick this morning, are you self-checking yourself every day? Like, every day when I wake up,
I checked myself twice this morning. Well, after the wife left.
I bet you did. On the iPad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good
saw
speed.
Your tweet. Yeah.
Good speed.
You wake up and you're like, okay, someone said, one of the guys I play hoops with said, every morning you wake up, take a deep breath, you can hold it for 10 seconds, then you don't cough, then you're probably in a good spot. But you just, I mean, obviously allergies until the rain today were still an issue too. So you're like, I'm just constantly going, okay, no sniffles. No, my throat doesn't hurt. All right, hopefully I'm good. But you just don't know. But I don't know if you guys, that's why I asked, if you're checking. Nick even said, like, yeah.
I feel fine. I mean,
I feel fine
here's
too.
Here's the thing is, and we talked about this a little bit. If you're out in public and you sneeze or cough, you're a pariah immediately. Everybody's like, yep. kill him, shoot him. They don't want to put you in a bubble. And like, you guys do realize we still have allergies in the city, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's still the flu going around.
But it's your instinct. I did the same thing at the Specs.
Did you? Somebody cough? You punched him in the face?
Nah, he sneezed in the whiskey lane.
Oh, no. Did he cover his mouth?
He had a mask, to be honest with
you. Oh, he sneezed into his mask?
I mean, by the way,
that's terrible.
Which begs the question. Is that a good or a bad thing if you sneeze into a mask? Is that a...
Maybe it's
bad for you, but not as bad for others?
It's not as bad for others because it catches everybody all else. The floaters.
You're already sick if you have it, so what does it matter?
I saw the mask. All I heard was the sneeze.
You can't get sicker. Like, you know what I mean? You can't double the sickness. So.
I just went to the travel size whiskey section. I was not even.
Did you? Yep. I saw something strange. Not strange, but I was driving in and there was a cop sitting on the side of the road like a speed trap. There's no cars. I was like, who are you? Are you going to pull somebody over for speeding and endangering all the people that are not on the road? Why are you even pulling people over at this point?
And even still, if people are out there, nobody, leave them alone.
There's nobody. If I'm speeding, there's maybe 3 cars on the entire tollway. Why are you sitting out there?
Plus, don't you have to, like, ask for their driver's license?
Yeah. If he pulls me over, I'm just going to start hacking up a lung.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Monday, when I got, I decided on the New Mexico trip. If you pull me over, I'm going to just.
Wait, I'm going to reach over and get my wallet, but I don't know if I have enough breath.
I've been diagnosed, sir. Here's my stuff. Yeah, that's going to be no problem.
That's dirty. Yep. But I said this. I texted Nick this morning. So much for the grocery stores, what everybody's telling you about, don't worry about it, it's all good. I went to HEB this morning. First, they got officers on both sides of the door for some reason when you walk in. Right behind them, I look, and I see all these people with their shopping carts, and I go, is that the line to check out? And he goes, yeah, it's pretty bad.
They had one line?
No. Then I looked, and each of the checkout lines went all the way back 17 to 20 people.
Oh, wow.
And then when I started looking around the store, when they said, well, we're going to restock the shelves and it'll be fine, that's why we're doing these adjusted hours. Nope, not so much.
I had no problem last night at HEB in my neck of the woods.
That's nice.
I had no problem at the Kroger this morning because I went to get us some jackfruit.
How'd that work out?
There's no jackfruit. There's been a run. Forget toilet paper.
Jackfruit's been jacked?
Forget spaghetti and pasta. There's apparently been a run on jackfruit because nobody has it.
The guy probably looked at you with such a weird look on his face. So, like, why are you asking for jackfruit?
I went to HEB last night, walked around looking for jackfruit. None. So I just got some M&Ms instead. Plenty of food, by the way. No water, Diet Coke, all that's available. Candy, food. I mean, there's plenty. plenty of food for everybody.
Yeah, not the HEB in Sugarland.
So then this morning, I was like, well, I'll swing by the Kroger on the way to the station and see if they have jackfruit. So I'm walking around. I can't find it. I pull up the app, or I Google them. I hop on my phone real quick, and I just search jackfruit Kroger aisle just to see if maybe there's, hey, if you're looking for jackfruit, because it wasn't in the fruit section. So I thought, I know that there was some canned or whatever. Well, then I see a manager, and I'm like, excuse me, sir, I have a kind of a weird question for you. I'm looking for jackfruit. Do you know what that is? He goes, you ain't getting that here, buddy. And I was like, wait a minute. What does that mean? He was like, ain't going to be no jackfruit, man. Not for a while. It's there's no specialty items available right now. We usually get one in, or we'll get a couple in, and sometimes we'll cut it up. But it's going to be a while before you get any jackfruit. I was like, well, at least he knew what it was. And then I happened to look online when I Googled that, and I saw a company that has all kinds of jackfruit options. Like they have dried jackfruit. Which I was like, oh,
this is gonna go on now.
Now they're just messing with me. Dried jackfruit, really? Come on, that's not appropriate. Jackfruit company. Then they have naked jackfruit.
Well, you are just.
I was like, oh, this is awesome. they got all kinds of, yeah. So, but apparently there is a company that sells like meal starters and jackfruit meals. And they have like barbecued jackfruit, lemon garlic jackfruit. So I think this is – jackfruit is like you can eat it normally like fruit, but then I think you could also cook with it like tofu.
Well, that's what I said to you. Based on some of the articles we looked up, if you eat it fresh, it's more like a fruit. If you cook it, it's more like you said pulled pork.
Apparently so, yeah. The texture, and then you can season it or flavor it however you want. So I just found that to be interesting.
And then we...
So I'm going to get you some, Nick, I'm going to get you some dry jackfruit for sure.
If I'm going to eat like jackfruit...
You seem like a dry jackfruit kind of guy.
I need my jackfruit dry.
Moist? You need a what?
Calloused.
Okay.
Well, you need your jackfruit what? I didn't hear you.
I'll be the punching bag here.
What did you say? I didn't hear what you said.
Dry.
Oh, you do need a dry. And you want naked jackfruit, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I agreed with the show to try this stuff.
Because I can order it online and have it delivered. So I can just have a bunch of dry jackfruit delivered for us. No? You guys aren't into this?
Based on what we're going through out in the world these days,
it might be a good idea to have a bunch of dry jackfruit around.
What, really? Okay.
What do you mean? Yes, really. It's like when Demetrius got me the free, what is it called? Freeze dried ice cream or whatever.
Do you eat that thing?
Not yet.
Okay.
I'm saving it for the apocalypse, bro. No, I swear to God, I'm saving it.
Isn't that when they go out of space, like NASA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently, it's delicious too. We're gonna find out. I'm gonna eat it. Don't you worry.
Okay.
I will have that freeze-dried or whatever it's called ice cream. But yeah, they got bulk naked jackfruit. You don't want any of that? Okay.
What's your objective here?
To try some jackfruit.
So we can try it once. That doesn't mean you're looking like trying to stock the shelves with.
Well, what if you like it? Then you're just going to be dry jackfruiting all the time.
Okay.
No? All right. That's fine. You won't. You'll at least try it if I order some, though?
I said I would.
Okay. I'm going to find which one I want to order. Because, like I said, they have meals, too.
You think when you support your local restaurants that are going to be doing takeout, they have some jackfruit?
I doubt it. Huh? Oh, you never know. You never know.
See, a side of jackfruit with that?
Oh, look. They have... I wonder if this is frozen. Boy, they got all kinds of stuff. Red beans and rice and jackfruit. Interesting. Okay. Well, I'll let you know when I order it, and then we'll all try some jackfruit.
There you go.
Okay.
In the meantime, if you're out and about and you're thinking about it, try and support your local businesses.
Please.
Whether they're not having the sit-downs in the restaurants, but you can still do takeout. There's a ton of great places. Nick got Nick's place yesterday. The pizza looked outstanding. They're still operational and doing their thing. So get you some Nick's Place, some Damaris Barbecue, you know, wherever you go. Jack's Grill, Big City Wings. But hit up these places because you know what? They're hurting right now. And we can help them in the process of helping ourselves because with the grocery stores and with everything I just said about what I saw with the shelves being bare, it's a good way to make sure that you get food and they keep they stay in business and keep making money.
So. Yeah. Speaking of that, there is one person I wanted to mention. Mm-hmm. So you remember a while back I told you I went to that taco
contest or whatever
Yeah. It was like a bunch of – it was like the best tacos in Houston. It was all at Eighth Wonder.
Yeah.
So I met a guy named Chef Machete, and he makes this stuff called lean sauce, which is just taco sauce. It's amazing. His taco won, by the way, the taco contest here in Houston. So he's actually – look for him on Twitter or on Instagram, Real Chef Machete, M-A-C-H-E-T-E, and there's like underscores in between Real Chef Machete. Because he's delivering tacos to people.
Really?
So you can order taco plates and have them delivered. And so, like, get you some lean sauce. So anybody that's doing stuff like that, I mean, because, you know, he's a chef and mm-hmm. people aren't going out to eat it a lot. And so he's, you know, everybody else is delivering food. So he's like, why can't I? So if you need tacos or you want some tacos, hit him up. $10, you get like four tacos, beans and rice.
Nick, you're always looking for a taco.
Yeah, brings it to your door. And get the lean sauce. I promise you, get some lean sauce from me. You will absolutely love it.
There you go. Hopefully get some feedback from you guys today. HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. That's the number to call or text if you want to reach the show. You can also reach us via Twitter at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is Funny. It is an FEF Friday in the big city. You're going to do something special today for our instead of a comedian of the week. Right?
Yep. Let you know on the other side.
We'll be telling you about that and a whole lot more. So stay with us. And again, we appreciate you being suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the
Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, what the hell?
Some you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Oh, I'm in a glass case of emotion.
This is an ESPN 97.5 roadshow. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second segment of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an F Yeah Friday in the big city. And hopefully all of you safe, healthy, listening to what the people are telling you now so we can get back to normalcy sooner rather than later. That would be key.
Yes.
So we don't have a comedian of the week. Why don't you tell the folks what you got going?
Yep. You know, there's, the comedy industry as a whole is pretty much shut down. I mean, and no clubs are open, obviously, so no performances are happening, obviously. I wanted to highlight, instead of a comic, I wanted to highlight some local clubs this week and next week, maybe. And specifically this week, The Secret Group, who is a comedy club in town that they also do other things. But the reason I wanted to highlight them is they're doing a lot of stuff online for you and that are stuck at home and for the comics as well. So they're going to be doing a lot of streaming of different kinds of shows, like a show called Freewheeling, a show called Dumb as Hell, a Heckler's Choice show a remote heckler show where you get to talk trash to comics and they'll trash talk you back or whatever. There's a show called Bartender's Choice. Basically, they're trying to do it as high quality as possible, as interactive as possible. I think a lot of them are going to be free based on tips. So you don't have to pay to consume the content. You can tip the performers, though. So it's a way for you to get something to watch, enjoy, and laugh at. The performers get the opportunity to perform. And The Secret Group is the one kind of spearheading all this. So you can look up The Secret Group on Facebook, YouTube, and I think they're on Twitch as well. So any of those streaming platforms. And not only when you're consuming it and you're tipping, are you supporting them? You're supporting the comics as well. So
cool.
Highly recommend you go do that. And my hat's off to those guys for just trying to help comics in some way, shape, or form earn a buck.
Got it.
Yep.
We want to give a shout out to Candy Coble. Candy is always a suspect and a great friend of the show. She says, hey, Candy's sweet stuff is still baking and she delivers.
Nice.
She said it's really affected me. Had 6 events canceled so far. So that Candy's sucks. Out on the north side. So check out Candy's Sweet Stuff if you're out that way, because we love the fact that she's a suspect and she is very loyal to us. So we are loyal to her. You know, it's interesting. The other thing that, about all of this, Lisa and I were talking about it, is the fact that we are kind of scaling everything back to the level that we are scares you about once this thing passes or they get control of it, what becomes the new norm? Because Lisa was out and about yesterday and she said she talked to several people, including one at the UPS store, because our accountant said, hey, don't come in. Just send us your tax information. So she was sending it all and she said there was a kid at the UPS store and she said, are you guys worried? And he said, I just think that the way all of this is going down, things are going to be so totally different when it's all said and done. And Lisa said she thinks from a TV perspective, because if you watch the news now, they're practicing the 6 feet rule. Every reporter is getting to the point where they're, even the Today Show today, Al Roker's at home next to his desktop computer with a stick mic talking about weather. And then Savannah is at her house and her kids actually walk onto where she's shooting from.
Oh, no.
And unfortunately, for all that we've seen in terms of technological advancements and the way studio shows look and run and replay and, you know, and all the different, the 4K and all the different ways that people are going about doing top quality productions on television, there's a fear that because television's in a different place, that this may become the new norm as we look at ESPN and Dan Graziano is doing something at his house with a backdrop with either an iPad or a phone shooting him and filming it. That might be more of what you see than the rarity.
I could see from a cost savings perspective, but I'm not so sure. I was jokingly talking to Stephen Brandow, who runs the Secret Group, and I was like, well, hell, he said, this might be a new job for me, doing all this stuff, virtual shows and stuff. I was like, hell, you might be creating a new kind of comedy club. You might be creating a virtual comedy club. I don't know that it's necessarily a bad thing. It's just anytime there's change, it's scary. Mm-hmm. Anytime there's a shift in how we do things and how things are done, it can be a bit unnerving and alarming and scary. But and anytime things happen, like, you know, you always hear about, oh, well, when robots take over, we lose all of our jobs. Well, remember, somebody has to create those robots.
Sure.
Somebody has to make those robots. Somebody has to service those robots. So anytime some jobs go away, economics tells you new jobs are created when those jobs are replaced. And I think the same thing is true here. Anytime something's going to happen, maybe in our business or TV or whatever, yeah, it's different, but it doesn't mean that the jobs don't exist. We just change the way we get them or mm-hmm. do them.
Well, and even, you know, us trying to do everything from home, the big thing for me is I don't want to lose touch with how we do what we do on a regular basis long term, because it is so much more interactive and fun, and because we create so many things on the fly, and it would be a lot more difficult to do if you're sitting at your house and I'm at my house and Nick is either here or at his house. I just feel like we've developed a system based on us being in close proximity.
Oh, well, there's no doubt. Come Monday or Tuesday or whenever we start working from home, it's going to be a lot different.
Yeah.
You know, but fortunately for us, fortunately for this show, we've had practice, and I'm just going to tell you guys, you're welcome.
Oh, God.
I mean, you know, because I've been on the road.
Well, Nick,
so
we
much
do know.
Doing comedy.
You know, we give Gary credit for
thanks.
Everything. So give Gary
Noel.
Credit for, yeah.
Thanks, Noel.
What Gary. Do you
guys? Yeah. Thanks, Noel. You hush your mouth, Rick.
At least went Rick. I didn't know which way you were going to go. You had options there.
Dang it.
You had options.
Wow, I should have went Dick. You're right.
Should have.
Totally. I screwed that up.
Dropped the ball on that one.
Man, boy, what was I thinking?
See,
no,
Dick
but I did think about that when they told us we were going to do it. I was like, well, you know what? We've done that before, actually, when I've been on remote. We can't see each other. So for us, be old hat, really.
Just but,
be like me just being on, being out in Kansas somewhere doing the show. We've kind of worked out that rapport where mm-hmm. we know, all right, Joel's about to stop talking. I'll jump in here. It's going to be a little awkward at first, but we got this.
Yeah. No, obviously, we'll get through whatever we have to
get through. I'm just excited to finally be able to do the show without my shirt on. I'm super excited about that.
You can take pictures.
I mean, if you want
them.
I'll send you some.
Maybe you, the jackfruit, and
some shirtless pictures of me. Sounds like you're interested.
Nope, not at all.
So are we going to have like a pantless show where we just all take our pants off and do the show?
I really want to know, because ESPN is doing so much of all of their analysts at the house.
Uh-huh.
I want to know how many of them are doing shirt,
pants?
Tie, jacket, and shorts.
Oh, best believe if we have to go live
pajama
with video,
bottoms.
Daddy is not going to have pants on.
I'm wearing shorts.
You're lucky to get me in shorts.
That.
It'll probably be underwear. And I will, not going to lie, I'm not even going to my office. It's probably going to be, I'll be laid up in the bed doing the show. I'm not going to my office and setting up.
You're
going to
ask the...
I'm going to be laid up in the bed. If you hear me go, hey, the cat won't stop clowning around while I'm on air. Just
in case
FYI.
We do video streaming with
Oh, yeah.
Barry's going to go to Courtney and go, can I get one of those banners so I can put it over the headboard of our bed so it looks like I'm doing it like in a room, but I'm actually in the bed.
My wife's going to come home and be like, why is there a green tarp over the headboard? I'm like, I had to create a green screen so I can do a background. No big deal, babe. Don't worry about it. It's going to make our sex videos look awesome, though.
And then there's that. First half of the show, half hour of the show
green
is gone.
So badass, right?
Got a lot of sports to get to, too. Running backs going off the board left and right, signing with new teams. And the good news for those teams are they didn't have to give up any draft picks or the best receiver in football to get them. Lots of things to get to on an FEF Friday. Would love to have you a part of the show. 713-780-3776. Call us, text us, hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half hour of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Friday in the big city. We call it an F-yeah Friday around here in a state where at least we can work if we want, come and go as we may. Obviously, man, we're supposed to follow social distancing and not in gatherings of 10 or more, but at least we're not in California yet. California's governor yesterday issuing a statewide mandatory stay-at-home order.
Did they say how long that's going to be?
Did not.
Mm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's insane.
I was thinking about it because, you know, you see all these different texts and tweets and people talking about, hey, man, are you guys still, yeah, we're still doing our thing. And you know what? We're having fun. And we just find a way to have, we don't have to do Mount Rushmores and lists and things like that. We find a way to get through these shows. They're like, well, how difficult is it? I said, well, no, but you miss sports. And a lot of people are saying you miss sports. Well, if you miss sports and you got that feeling really bad right now, the best thing to do is follow all the instructions you're getting from people so that this thing goes sooner rather than later, because the longer it lingers on, the more you're not going to have sports. So don't be like the idiots on spring break that we played the sound clips from yesterday that just feel like it's, yeah, it's somebody else that's going to get it, and I'm not going to stop drinking and going to the beach and doing my Airbnb with these new people we met where somehow I'm sharing a bed with them tonight. I mean, that's not the way to go about this. Be smart. You know, even if you can go outside, you can exercise, but just, you know, I've given up my basketball games because there's 10 guys on the court and you don't know.
Well, even then, if there was just three or four of you, it'd still be too close.
Oh, I get that too. Yeah, and I get that. But I'm just saying, the more you want sports back and you miss it deeply, the more you should be following the letter of the law on all of this stuff so that hopefully this thing gets under control sooner rather than later. That's my PSA.
Okay. Well done. Sure.
Thank you. But yeah, how about the fact that the whole state of California?
Pretty crazy. It's going to be interesting because I have a feeling that's going to be the norms here soon. Where somebody was talking about in Italy a while back, they had some lady on one of the news programs where she was saying that they're not allowed to leave. Like, you have to have like a permit almost. If you're going to work, okay, but you have to have a permit and it has to be a job, you know, approved or whatever. If you're going to the grocery store, you have to fill out a form. Only one of you can go. And you go to the grocery store, you wait in line, they let you in 10 at a time, you do your shopping, you leave. And, I mean, it just sounds like something out of a movie, but the fact of the matter is no one asked for this. You know what I mean? And there's going to be people that politicize this on both sides of the aisle, and there's going to be the weirdos that are like, ah, this is just Trump's way of creating a dictatorship. No, it's not. These things, these states have to shut down and people have to follow these rules. And it's worldwide. It's a pandemic. So please don't make this political at this
right.
point. And even though, if you want to make it political with those a-hole senators that dump their stock.
Yep.
Before after getting the information about what was coming, to at least two that I know
that
I tweeted about last night. I was trying to find their names, but two that I tweeted about last night that dumped their stock. Senator Kelly Loeffler dumped millions in stock, and then Senator, where did he go? Damn it, I can't find his name now. He's the Intel chair, Richard Burr. Richard Burr sold off $1.6 million in stock after getting the information about the coronavirus and what was to come in the U.S. And then the other one, and somebody else sent me another list, but I haven't confirmed that all those people, it was just a list, so I'm not going to necessarily believe it, but articles that have been published by the Daily Beast and other sources. And let me tell you what, Tucker Carlson came out and said that Burr should step down and be arrested and prosecuted. If Tucker Carlson calls you out, and you're a Republican, you screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you are in a bad way. Because Tucker Carlson, for all, he's an idiot. But if he's calling you out, this is bad for you. So that's what, see, stuff like that is what pissed me off. And there's Democrats that were doing it too, apparently. So this isn't an isolated to just Republicans in the party. Apparently this is happening on both sides of the aisle. I haven't seen the articles for who the Democrats were yet. But they're doing it as well. And I think any of these officials, these senators or people in
I saw a
politics.
List of 5 to 7
yeah.
total.
And
Dianne Feinstein was one of them. And
she needs to be in jail, too. If they did it, they should all be locked up, period. They should all be given the coronavirus and locked up. Maybe that was a little much. Somebody got mad at me because I wished somebody got the coronavirus, which I'm surprised it took me this long to actually wish someone gets the coronavirus. Because you guys know me. I can say some mean things sometimes. Not that I mean them, but I meant it in this case. That Kenneth Copeland dude, that preacher that, I don't know if you know him, he's kind of like a Jim Baker type or Robert Tilton, but he was on TV weeks ago telling people to touch the screen and send him some money and they were cured of the coronavirus. This is what he's telling people. First of all, never mind how dangerous that is. Just the fact that you're thinking that people can pay you and that you can heal people is just asinine. So then he goes on, and this was recently, he goes on, I don't know what religious station it was, but he basically tells people, whatever you do, don't stop tithing. Don't stop giving money to your churches.
Oh.
Even if you lose your job, you get down there and you send them some money. I'm like, bro, I swear, I hope you get the coronavirus and all your money goes away. I hope you end up broke and alone. Like, just the thought of you guilting people.
It's bad.
And, you know, it's not normal, rational people, Christians or not, aren't going to do that. But there are the elderly who think, oh, well, maybe I have to do this. That's the scary part about that, is the elderly hear that and think, well, I got to keep. If you don't have the money to give, don't give.
Vulnerable people that can be easily misled.
Yes.
Yeah. They might bite on that.
And that's
terrible.
The thing is it gives Christians a bad name. It really does. Guys like that give religion and Christians and Christianity a bad name. It's just awful.
There's no question that there's going to be so many people trying to take advantage of this situation during the pandemic. We saw the 17,000 bottle hand sanitizer guy.
I hope they get it too. Him and his brother.
There was some other guy that was producing his own bottles of what he said was he had concocted some potion that
Everclear,
was going to get rid of
Everclear,
the coronavirus.
Everclear aloe vera gel and essential oil.
This isn't even hand sanitizer. This was some like either oral.
Oh, that was Jim Baker. He said he had some sort of water.
Not him either, though, but someone else tried to put it on Amazon, was like actually marketing it as the.
Well, now put them on the list of people I hope get coronavirus. I hope Jim Baker, Kenneth Copeland, the two senators, and the two brothers that were hoarding hand sanitizer. I hope they all get it. I don't wish them to die from it. I just hope they get it. I'm not wishing death on
numbers
anybody
are up,
here.
You know, they are increasing.
Yeah. I just hope those six people get it.
Sean Payton yesterday, Marcus Smart, and two of the Lakers, which remain nameless for the time being today, news came out.
Somebody tagged me on a picture of Sean Payton and said, this looks like you. I was like, that looks nothing like me.
That one
you're
right
reaching.
There, they just showed him with glasses on.
Yeah.
I was like, just because he has glasses on, everybody looks like
any
you.
Any white guy with glasses, black glasses, and people are me like, this is you, Barry. Do better.
Scott Van Pelt.
Yeah. See, now, I get that. Like,
but he's bald. Like, you look nothing like
right,
him.
Right, but no, what I'm saying is, you know how they do where isn't Scott
Where in
Van
the world Pelt? Is SVP, yeah.
Yeah, or where isn't he, because it's not him, but it looks like him. But those are close, because they're a bald guy with glasses, and they're that tall, skinny, and all that. But they'll do it, like, it doesn't matter. They'll get, like, a dude from India, if he's got black glasses. This looks like you, Barry. No, it doesn't. Stop trying so hard.
Bill Spencer put glasses on the other night. Shut on your channel damn two. Mouth. I was like, Barry, you're moonlighting on us? You didn't tell us?
So much.
What are you doing to us?
I hate you.
Wow.
It was so funny.
We were talking about backdrops, too. And Ryan Clark, some of the guys that hadn't been on, I guess, I don't know if they couldn't get the house set up or whatever. But, like, they finally got, what's the big guy that played with the Patriots, the offensive lineman?
Marcus.
No, not Marcus Spears. Oh, come on. Huh? Damian Woody. So, you know, Orlovsky's got the bookcase behind him, and he's got game balls that he got. Like, it says first 300-yard game in the NFL. It's probably the only one. But they had all these different, like, footballs and helmets and things like that. So, today, Damian Woody, for the first time from his house, and he has got a spread. And it's got, like, his college jerseys, his pro jerseys, you know, paintings of him and Tom Brady together playing, all these different things. And so all the guys are like, dang. I got to step up my background game. And Ryan Clark comes out and tweets and says, so I'm going to get one of these home setups after I saw Damon Woody's backdrop today. I realized I don't have a football room. I don't have memorabilia space. So I'm just going to go buku snacks behind me. Honey buns, nutty buddies, oatmeal, cream pies, golden Oreos, going to all be fire.
Oh, so now he's hoarding food. Well, I hope he numbs.
But think about this. If
that is funny, though.
If you want to, if you're a marketing guy, you realize... You start putting that stuff behind you, people are going to be like, what's your address again? We're going to send you some stuff.
Don't send me a check, bro. Don't send me stuff. Send me a check.
Exactly.
I don't need stuff. Yeah, but that's a good point.
So, yeah, it's funny. People are going to try and take advantage of that as well. All right, we're going to continue to roll on with plenty more. We're going to get to those running backs. A couple of running backs found new homes today on the free agent market. There's also a lot of free agents still out there, including Jadeveon Clowney. Where might they be going? Lots of stuff to talk about. Lots of room for you guys to join the show. HRNP listener line 713-780-3776. Text, call, hit us on Twitter. For the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. It's raining today, people. Maybe you just found out you got a leak in your roof. Maybe you've been thinking about putting a new roof on your house. You don't know where to go. You don't want storm chasers, deposit thieves, and sketchy roofers. Look no further than Fitz Roofing. Locally owned and operated, Fitz Roofing takes care of everything for you, and they got the ratings to prove it. A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. And to get it all checked out for you, it's absolutely free. All you do is call 832-521-3001. Set up your free no-obligation inspection today. They come to you, tell you what they can do. They go back on their merry way. You want them to come back, just reach back out. They're going to come back, do fantastic work before, during, and after the sale. You can also check them out at fitzroofing.com, but I encourage you to call and get that free, no-obligation inspection. 832-521-3001. It's Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5. Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, who do you know wants a running back and doesn't want to give up a second round pick and then one of the top three receivers in football? Okay. Well, if you're the Atlanta Falcons and you moved on from Devontae Freeman, you now have Todd Gurley on a one-year deal. If you're the Denver Broncos, you already had Philip Lindsay, but you went and got you Melvin Gordon on a two-year deal today. So those two running backs, for the price of their contracts, have new homes today. Bill O'Brien's still the laughingstock of the NFL based on his move earlier this week with DeAndre Hopkins. But in terms of the particulars, I haven't seen the financials yet on Gurley. I know that it's a 2-year, $16 million deal that includes $13.5 million in guarantees for Melvin Gordon with the Broncos. So a I'll tell you what, fellas, looks worse and worse if you're a Texans fan and what Bill O'Brien did.
Yeah, you can't be happy with when you see stuff come out that's like, why is this team making good decisions and the team I root for isn't? That's the disheartening thing.
Yep. Gurley, 1 year, $6 million.
You don't know how it pans out. You know, you don't know how it's going to shape, you know, what guys, how they're going to perform. But all you can do is base it on the past. So all of the anger and that you hear from guys in the media like us and all of the disdain that you hear in our voices about Bill, it's not based on, it's like stock. You can't predict the future, but you know up to this point what it's done. So it kind of gives you an idea of what to expect going forward. Does it happen all the time? No. I mean, you know what? Maybe David Johnson miraculously finds his 2016 self, rushes for 1,400 yards and 30 touchdowns. And boy, would I love to have egg on my face and be wrong about it.
Sure.
We all would. But history tells you and common sense tells you it's probably not the case. So, yeah, it sucks when you see it because it exacerbates the issue because you already have the dumb moves being made and then you're seeing other teams being smart with their money and making good decisions because you knew that Gurley was going to be somewhere.
Sure.
But at what did you say, $6 million? $9 million?
One for six, yeah. Because the Rams already had to give him $7.5 million. So they said, and then with contract language, what gets either held back or deferred, he's going to end up making $11 million this year regardless of who he played for.
Yeah, see, that would have just... I would have much rather have had Todd Gurley at six with Duke Johnson and keeping DeAndre Hopkins and paying him versus Randall Cobb and David Johnson.
Maybe there is some truth to the whole cap situation. I mean,
what do you mean?
I mean, if I was the cap guy for the Houston Texans, I would hate Bill O'Brien too.
Oh, yeah.
And he got fired in January. He got hired at the beginning of 18, I think. And, like, why would you want to work with someone like that when the numbers are that obvious?
Yeah.
That obvious. You get all these other guys that you can get on a deal because of their injury history. We've talked about how you like to use running backs in a tandem to kind of preserve reps for each running back, and that's a trend that's going on in multiple teams, and yet you still make decisions like that. If I was a cap guy, I would hate Bill O'Brien.
Well, the problem is the decision you make to go out and get a David Johnson to pair up with Duke Johnson is that Duke Johnson is a pass-catching running back. So is David Johnson. So you didn't even get a thunder and lightning.
Before the injury, he ran and he was versatile.
Yeah, but I mean, you didn't get a thunder and lightning. You didn't get an opposite of what Duke Johnson is. They both do the same thing. Now you're going to take out a guy that in David Johnson that was could just stay in on third downs because he could catch passes out of the backfield for a guy that's his job. I mean, I'd rather you see him go out and get a hammer. Go out and get a guy that, you know,
pounds it between the tackles.
An Ingram or somebody like that that's just going to, run between the tackles. So you have a compliment. And then that makes a little more sense. But you got two of the same thing. One's just a little worse than the other one.
I think David Johnson proved before he got hurt that he can be an every down back. And he was versatile and he did so many different things. He was like a sturdier version of Melvin Gordon in a lot of ways. But I see your point because of the fact that, you know, you're always looking for, you know, the counterpunch. So you got thunder and lightning. You've got one guy that's elusive and a third down back. And you got another guy that's going to be the guy that's going to tote the rock for the majority of the time. But, you know, regardless of what you look at and what you were looking to do, you could have done it a lot more inexpensively and you could have worked something out so that you didn't have to give up arguably the best or one of the two best players on your roster because of the fact that you made it personal. And the other thing that's really becoming evident about the arrogance of all these guys under the Belichick tree is this story that comes out of Detroit a day after Darius Slay was traded by the Lions to the Eagles. Darius Slay obviously played last year for Detroit under Matt Patricia, who was the defensive coordinator for Bill Belichick and the Patriots. And we heard about the meeting in which D-Hop had with Bill O'Brien when he said the last time I had to do a meeting like this was with Aaron Hernandez. And he made a lot of other comments that were very uncalled for. Well, there was another meeting that happened with Matt Patricia and Darius Slay. And he had been working out with all-pro corners Richard Sherman, Akeem Tlaib, Xavier Rhodes. He comes off his first Pro Bowl appearance, an all-pro nod. He gets into a meeting with Patricia, and Patricia says, "You're not elite." And I'm like, "Huh?" I'm trying to see where he's coming at. And he said, I'm not an elite corner, and that I'm not in their category. I was coming off an all-pro year, 8 picks. That told me right there he didn't have no respect for me. He told me I was a good player, but then to tell me I'm not so good, I said, okay. I just took that to the chin and said, that's cool. Then I bounced back to back-to-back Pro Bowlers on him, let him know how elite I was. He told me I shouldn't be working out with those guys.
Wow.
Do you think you're motivating your players and getting them to be on your side and have your back?
That's not a good. And it's so weird to hear other people come out and be like, oh, yeah. Like DJ Reader, it was nothing but complimentary.
Right.
It's so weird.
And then, of course, and we saw Jalen Strong's tweet. But you don't know. But you thought, well, okay, we heard several instances with Bill O'Brien, right? We heard this one thing about Slay and Patricia. But they said that they had never seen eye to eye since after that time. And he said a player whom Slay declined to name caught a couple passes on him. After practice, Slay posted a picture on social media about him and the receiver. At the start of the meeting later that night, Patricia used the social media photo along with a small highlight tape of said player on the board before addressing Slay. And he said he put the picture on the board and essentially told him to stop kissing up to another player and used more profanity amongst it.
It's so weird because coaches think that, I guess they only coach one way. Good coaches will modify the way they coach based on the personality, right? Mm-hmm. So if you know you got one guy that may be a little sensitive, you handle that a little bit differently than a guy that you know is kind of an old school, needs to be yelled at to be motivated. And that's the thing, and that's why I brought it up, because I wonder if that's the same thing like with Bill O'Brien that you're seeing with Matt Patricia. These guys, they're not able to change the way that they coach people, right? So you'll in the
or
one
how
case,
they learn to coach players, right?
So you have in the case of, and I'm just using local reference, but you'll have a guy like DJ Reader that's complimentary of Bill O'Brien, and then Jalen Strong that isn't, and Matt Patricia. You hear these stories come out, and other guys love Matt Patricia. And those guys might be the ones that are okay with non-motivational, in-your-face, a-hole types of coaching.
And you coach everybody differently, right? Some guys need to be pushed. Some guys need to be coddled. Yeah.
But they don't, and that's the problem. And so only the guys that you're pushing and kind of being a jerk to, the ones that normally respond to that are going to respond to it and not have a problem with you.
Because to your point on Reader, O'Brien was the guy during the year downplaying when everybody said, do you think that Reader could be a Pro Bowler? Could he be an all-pro type player? And he was like, I don't want to talk about that. And I don't want to get into that. And, you know, and I think he's a good player. And so maybe Reader was okay with it. So to your point, you know, other players might be okay with that coaching style. But unlike Bill O'Brien, Patricia issued a statement. He declined to go into detail, but he said over the last two seasons, Darius Slay and I had multiple conversations in private I believed were constructive and satisfactory. My discussions with athletes are confidential. I won't comment on anything discussed with our players in a team meeting. I appreciate his hard work. I wish him and his family success in Philly. But two other players from that team that were in those meetings corroborated the story of Slay, asked for anonymity, but said they recalled the incident and how it went down, just like Slay described.
Interesting.
It's not a good look for a guy that's got 9 wins over his first couple seasons in Detroit. He doesn't have a winning record, and the guy they got rid of so they could hire him, Jim Caldwell, had 2 straight 9-7 seasons and had them going in the right direction.
It's not a good look for a guy who used to be in New England under Bill Belichick and is trying to make his own path as a head coach to be treating people like that. Wait a minute. Sounds awfully familiar. Is that what we're talking about again? Interesting.
Very interesting. As we wrap up hour number one of the show, that means we still got two to go. So if you want to join us, plenty of room for you. 713-780-3776. HRNP listen line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Hour two right around the corner. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.